and I start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Friday and my day.
Truth Seekers, welcome to the program. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while. We'll have you laughing or crying or reaching for a different channel or grabbing for your ice pick. Those are the four choices. Wow, it happened again today, didn't it? Huh? The hits just keep on coming. Just never stops. And poor old Double Your Pleasure, Double Your Trouble, Double Speak Dana Perino suffered back-to-back bad news briefings in the White House spin room yesterday and today. Yesterday she was hammered about Bush's obvious lies about Iran's dismantled nuclear program. Today, old lightning lips had to dance around questions about the CIA destroying videotaped evidence at New Congress and the 9/11 Commission wanted about so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, what they call enhanced interrogation techniques, what you and I, since we are not all that educated, we call it torture. Dana looks so shaken today, I wonder if she made it to the sale at Saks and Lord & Taylor before they closed. There is a Jose Padilla connection to all this. Remember Jose Padilla? He was the guy who was picked up, Chicago street gang member. He was picked up. Where was he picked up? He was picked up in this country. And I'll never forget the day that the Attorney General, not Gonzalez, but what's his name? Hey, Ashcroft. Ashcroft was in Moscow. And, you know, I was just doing my usual thing, torturing myself with CNN. This was, what, 3 or 4 years ago. All of a sudden, breaking news. They come on, and Ashcroft, they have a live feed of Ashcroft in Moscow, and he's telling us that a plot was broken up. Now, this is important. There's going to be a test on this in a couple of minutes, so listen up. Ashcroft comes on and says there was a plot broken up that involved U.S. citizens getting ready to work with Al-Qaeda operatives and explode a nuclear dirty bomb somewhere in the United States. A dirty bomb being a conventional explosion, but around it packed with radioactive materials so that there would be a considerable amount of damage to living tissue. But through God's help and the strength of Jesus, apparently, Ashcroft and his crack investigative teams and CIA and everybody had broken up this plot, and they had under arrest one miserable ghoul named Jose Padilla. I would pronounce it Padilla, but every time I've said that, people say, no, it's Padilla. So, all right, we'll call him Padilla. He was then disappeared for a number of months, kept in isolation, tortured, all sorts of things. Finally, when an effort was made to have him brought in for a habeas corpus hearing, the Bush crime family turned him over to state authorities after captain a Navy brig in solitary confinement for, 3 years, to the point where he went, according to his attorney, is no longer able to assist in his defense because these filthy pigs have driven him insane. He was put on trial and convicted of some sort of charge. I believe it was, wait a second, I have it right here. He was, the dirty bomb allegations were dropped, but Padilla and two of his co-defendants were convicted a couple of months ago of three terror-related charges and face life in prison when they are sentenced next month in January. All right, now keep all that in mind, Jose Padilla. Democrats today in Congress are demanding a full Justice Department investigation. Yeah, Mukasey. Is he the new Attorney General, Mukasey? Yeah, okay. Democrats in Congress are demanding a full investigation into whether the CIA obstructed justice, conspired to obstruct justice. There's some very serious stuff going on today. By destroying videotapes that documented the torture back in 2002 of two detainees that was in that were in the custody of the CIA. Now, this comes a day after CIA Director General Michael Hayden told employees of the CIA that the tapes were destroyed way back in 2005. Yeah, 2 years ago. And the reason Hayden told him that, told everyone that, was because the New York Times called the CIA, I think, on Tuesday and said, "We're going with the story on Thursday, so you better prepare yourself." So Hayden told everybody that the tapes were destroyed in 2005. Meanwhile, members of Congress, human rights groups, and lawyers for accused terrorists—I hate to use the term—you know, enemy combatants, whatever they are—all these people are saying the tapes may have been key evidence that the U.S. government had illegally authorized torture. Well, of course they are. Of course they are. These tapes were made so that certain members of the Bush crime family could get some sort of sexual release in watching them. There's no other reason to make the tapes, is there? Oh, I know there's some other reasons, but they don't make any sense with this group of perverts and sick bastards that now run this country. So anyway, Dana Perino today said that Bush did not have any recollection. She is at that point that she's using the term, he has no recollection. Shades of Watergate, shades of Iran-Contra, shades of every criminal act has been committed by Republican members of Congress, Republican members of the military, Republican executive branch members over the past 40 years. No recollection. That's what Dana Perino is saying. Bush has no recollection about the tapes or about their destruction. However, Lava Lips could not rule out White House involvement in the tapes' destruction. She said she's only asked the president about it, not others. See, Dana is everybody in the White House is very careful who they ask and what they ask so they don't walk around with the information. Hi, did you have a good day today? Yes. Now, the person saying yes actually fell down a manhole, broke both legs, ripped his head open, but he doesn't know if in saying, no, I had a bad day, that somehow that's going to be used against him in the Bush crime family. So he says yes. In a letter to Attorney General Michael Mukasey, the Senate's number two Democrat, Dick Durbin of Illinois, asked for a probe of, quote, whether CIA officials who destroyed these videotapes and withheld information about their existence from official proceedings violated the law, end quote. In a Senate floor speech, Durbin dismissed. See, the CIA had a perfect explanation. They were trying to protect the identities of the interrogators, of the torturers. Oh, give me a goddamn break. If you want to protect somebody's identification or videotape, you can do it, what, how many ways? 30 different ways? Pixelate the face? Put a cloud over it? But you see, the Bush crime family and all of its tentacles are absolutely convinced of one salient fact. You and I are stupid. We are just so asinine and stupid because we did not take to the streets when these bastards invaded Iraq. We did not take to the streets when we found out about Abu Ghraib. We did not take to the streets when we found out about Guantanamo. We did not take to the streets on occasion after occasion over the past 7 years as these roaches have very calculatedly and deliberately destroyed what you and I have come to believe is our form of government. So since we have never taken to the streets, not in sufficient numbers to put them on notice, you sons of bitches better be afraid of us. Since we've never done that, they do this, and it just continues. The lies, the deception, the criminal acts. They couldn't care less because they know you and I don't. They know that you and I will sit and talk about it, and we'll gnash our teeth and rend our garments and rub our hands and say, oh, woe is us, and make sick jokes about it. But they know, the Bush crime family knows, that that's as far as it's going to go. You see? Senator Carl Levin, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, told reporters that the CIA's explanation that tapes were destroyed to protect the identity of the agents is a pathetic excuse. Well, yes, Senator Levin, it is. And you know what's another pathetic excuse? Is your refusal to jump down the throat of your colleague Nancy Pelosi on the other side of the Capitol Rotunda and demand impeachment hearings begin. So you got a pathetic excuse too, don't you, Carl? He added, quote, you'd have to burn every document at the CIA that has the identity of an agent on it under that theory, end quote. Right, Carl. But don't forget, you're dealing with the American public. They're dealing with the American public. And we, apparently, are okay with what the Bush crime family's doing, short of bitching about it, because we allow it to continue.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So as Pamela Hess reports to the Associated Press, House Judiciary Committee Democrats sent letters today to Attorney General Michael Mukasey and CIA Director Michael Hayden. They both got letters asking whether the Justice Department gave legal advice to the CIA on the destruction of the tapes and whether it was planning an obstruction of justice investigation. So the letter ostensibly wants to find out if the Justice Department and the CIA are working together to destroy justice, obstruction of justice, withholding evidence, destroying evidence. This is getting to the point now, truth seekers. It is getting to the point where I think a momentum is going to build here that will be unstoppable. The American public is going to continue to sit back on its ass and do nothing. We as a group, not you, and certainly not me, but as a nation, we are content to watch Democratic government, representative government, such as it is in this country, end. We've made that determination. I said this about 6-8 months ago and then backed off from it because I thought I saw some glimmers of hope. But I don't. I really don't. So the only thing that will bring these bastards down is what always brings bastards like these down, certainly in literature, and that's hubris. The fact that they think that this can just go on endlessly. The lies and deceptions and death and murder and torture and destruction of the Constitution and everything that they do, they are gambling on the fact that the American public will never do anything, and it's a pretty safe gamble. It's a pretty safe gamble. So what will bring them down is what always brings this sort of tyrant down, and that is hubris, these sorts of tyrants down. So the letters went out from House Judiciary Committee Democrats. Those are the ones who are supposed to conduct the hearings on articles of impeachment against the two most criminal sons of bitches in the executive branch that we have ever had. Ever. Nixon, Agnew, chumps compared to these guys. Now, the CIA, as you probably know now, taped the interrogations of the first two suspects the agency held, one of whom was Abu Zubaydah. Zubaydah, under what has been termed harsh questioning, told CIA interrogators about the alleged 9/11 accomplice, Ramzi bin al-Shib. President Bush said all this publicly a little over a year ago, when he was out there posturing like a little banty rooster walking around. Look what I've done. The Center for Constitutional Rights, which coordinates the work of attorneys representing U.S. prisoners held at Guantanamo, says the CIA may have destroyed crucial evidence that a court said the center was entitled to back in 2004. Now, obstruction of justice, destroying evidence, violating a court order, this is very, very, very incredibly serious stuff. The Center for Constitutional Rights filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit in 2004 that has forced the Defense Department and other government agencies to release thousands of documents. And CCR, Center for Constitutional Rights, said today it is now deeply concerned the CIA may have destroyed evidence relating to Majid Khan, a former CIA detainee now held at Guantanamo. The the revelations on those tapes that apparently have been destroyed may have had a profound effect on ongoing terrorism trials. Now we get to Padilla. Convicted conspirator Jose Padilla's lawyers claimed in a Florida federal court that Mr. Zubeda was tortured into saying Padilla was an Al-Qaeda associate involved in a dirty bomb plot. In a November 2006, a year ago, in response to that charge by Padilla's lawyers, the Justice Department dismissed those allegations as meritless, saying Padilla's legal team could not prove that Mr. Zubeda had been tortured. Ah, well, I wonder why they said it so confidently. Could it be because the weaselly sons of bitches had destroyed the evidence of the torture? You think? So Padilla and his two co-defendants were convicted 3 or 4 months ago of three charges and face life in prison at sentencing next month. Oh, the dirty bomb allegations that Ashcroft got all sweaty and serious and ready to anoint himself in oil over, those charges were dropped. You know why they were dropped? Because there was, A, no substance to them. B, they came as testimony produced from someone who was being tortured. Do you see? Do you see? Of course you do. Of course you understand what's going on here, don't you? There's a little bit more here on Padilla. I'll share it with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
So confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda. Propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda. Propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies.
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
It's about 25 before the hour. So, Jose Padilla and his two co-defendants were convicted last August of three terror-related charges and faced life in prison. When they were sentenced in January, the dirty bomb allegations originally brought against them were dropped. They were lies and nonsense to begin with. Padilla's lawyers had asked to interview Zubeda to determine the circumstances of his interrogations. You know, it comes under the Sixth Amendment, being able to confront your accuser. Refute what your accuser is saying. But not in Bush world, not in the dictatorship in which we now live. If you don't think we live in a dictatorship, it's only because your involvement with the court so far has only been parking tickets and stuff like that. And probably state courts. But we're there, truth seeker. We're really there. We're really there. The lawyers for Padilla wanted to interview Zubeda to determine why he said that Padilla was a member of Al-Qaeda or was going to put together a dirty bomb. That's all. They just wanted to talk to him and find out why he was saying this about their client. Well, the district judge who had signed the warrant used by the FBI to arrest Padilla back in 2002 at O'Hare Airport, said no. The warrant relied on information obtained from Zubaydah, the man who was tortured. Now, who was the district judge who signed the warrant used by the FBI to arrest Padilla back in 2002? Who was the judge? That's right, Michael Mukasey, who is now the Attorney General. You see how this works? In a totally separate case, attorneys for Zacharias Moussaoui, another Al-Qaeda co-conspirator, back in 2003, 4 years ago, began seeking videotapes of torturous interrogations that they believe might help them show that their client wasn't a part of the 9/11 attacks. Really, what? Which is what the 9/11 Truth Commission or Truth Organization has been saying. So much of this stuff is based on the thinnest tissue paper of lies, but nobody would challenge it. Not a Democrat, not a committee, not the American public, not the media. Who's left? Well, the 9/11 truth people are still slugging away. How much longer before they start disappearing? Now, the requests to get these videotapes in defense of Zacharias Moussaoui became more intense in 2005 as the defense slowly learned the identities of more detainees in U.S. custody, Moussaoui's defense. On November 3, 2005, a U.S. district judge ordered the government to disclose whether it had videotapes of specific interrogations. 11 days later, the government denied it had tapes relevant to the request. Is that perjury? Obstruction of justice, destruction of evidence. The tapes were destroyed at a time when there was increasing pressure from defense attorneys to obtain videotapes of these interrogations where various detainees were tortured. And under the excruciating pain and imminent death of torture, they just threw out whatever name they could throw out, specifically the ones their interrogators were demanding. What do you know about Abu Zubaydah? Nothing. All right, let's kill him. Okay, I know him. How do you know him? All right, let's kill him. Oh, we were in an Al-Qaeda cell. Is that what you want? You see how this works? How many fingers am I holding up, Winston? Four. No. You may see four. But I'm actually holding up five. Okay, five. Zzz. Winston, you're only saying that to pacify me. How many fingers am I holding up? I see four. Winston, I'm holding up five. Take another look. How many fingers am I holding up? Five. But I said five. But you don't really believe I'm holding up five. I can't help it. I see four. I want to say five. I want to say five. But I see four. Oh, it's so simple. The tapes were destroyed at a time when there was increasing pressure from defense attorneys for numerous detainees to obtain the videotapes of the tortures. The 2004 scandal over the abuse of detainees at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq had focused public attention on what the private contractors and the CIA and some of these goofy-ass low-ranking specialists in the United States Army were doing to people in prison. So we all became focused on it in 2004. And what did we do? Not a goddamn thing. Except sit back and say, oh boy, that's pretty awful, isn't it? The tapes also were not provided to the 9/11 Commission. Why should they be? the 9/11 Commission relied heavily on intelligence reports about Zubaydah and Bin al-Shib's 2002 interrogations. You see, the 9/11 Commission always started from a conclusion and worked backward to find the proof to back up the conclusion. The conclusion was that on September 11th, 2001, 19 terrorists came to this country, hijacked 4 airplanes, and murdered a total of 3,000 people on U.S. soil. That's the conclusion. And then they worked backwards from that. Airplanes slamming into the Pentagon that didn't exist. Buildings collapsing that couldn't collapse. A total stand down of the North American Air Defense Command. Nobody doing anything while 4, 5, 6, 7 commercial jetliners are hijacked. So the 9/11 Commission wanted the same videotapes. Why did they want them? Because they wanted to see if the names provided by the detainees of the people who organized and led the attack on this country were provided because they were under torture. And what did the CIA say? What did the Bush crime family say? Nah, don't think so. We'll pass. Bye-bye. Now that's where we are. This is where we are. And you know what? You know what? Tomorrow morning, Saturday, I'm going to get up. Kathy and I, and we're going to do our morning toilette and get the kid ready. Then we're going to take a drive down to a place here called Callaway Gardens. Beautiful outdoor gardens in the spring and the summer. It's run by the state in conjunction with private corporations. And at night, they have a 6.5-mile course, I believe, where you drive through Christmas lights. Or you can get on the trolley, and it's an open trolley, and they provide hot chocolate and Christmas carols. And you drive through Callaway Gardens, and you look at the beautiful lights. And that's what we're going to do Saturday. We're going to take our kid to go do that. And then Sunday, we'll probably find an art fair someplace to go do some last-minute Christmas shopping. And then we'll come home and build a fire in the fireplace Sunday evening and maybe watch a good movie. So, oppressor today. Is that the same as oppressor? Are you getting hip on me with these terms, Kathy? Press conference is called oppressor? Is it? Oh, okay. We will have some Too Much Cappuccino Perino for you when we come back, strictly for entertainment, because there's nothing that she can say, nothing that Cheney can say, nothing that Bush can say, nothing these people can do that will make me change my plans for this weekend. Nothing.
Is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
10 before the hour, So, Spinderella, the too much cappuccino Perino, the spokeswoman for the Bush crime family. 2 days in a row now, she's had to defend against big font, above-the-fold New York Times stories about Bush crime family activities. Yesterday it was Bush's lies about Iran. Today the CIA's destruction of evidence. And isn't it odd that yesterday some of us had the feeling that the CIA was the only and the military were the only two organizations left to put the brakes on our rush to fascism, and then today we find out that the CIA is involved in destroying evidence and obstruction of justice. You may find a contradiction in that until you realize that the CIA is not three people. The CIA is thousands. We never know. We never know because it's done on the so-called black budget. We don't know how many people work for the CIA. We know where their building is in Langley, Virginia, but we don't know who works there, how many people work there, how many men, how many women, how many blacks, whites, Jews, Gentiles, gays. We have no idea, you see, because we are not allowed to know that. And we don't know how much money they spend or what they spend it on. So it is not totally a contradiction to find out that people within the CIA are working their asses off to stop Bush and Cheney from beginning World War III, while other people in the CIA, also working on an aspect of the Bush crime family's business, are destroying evidence and obstructing justice. So today, the CIA's destruction of evidence, specifically videotapes of so-called enhanced interrogations, torture of detainees. The CIA knew Congress wanted it. The CIA knew the federal courts wanted them. The CIA knew the 9/11 Commission wanted these tapes, and yet the CIA denied their very existence, all the while their big shredders were working overtime. So, this intrepid White House reporter says, Dana, regardless of the reasons for destroying these tapes, what does the White House say to members of the House Intelligence Committee? Hayden apparently said, well, we notified them about the tapes and they exist and we're going to destroy them. Some of them say, no, you didn't. We didn't know about it. Also, the 9/11 Commission said, you know, we asked for this information. We were told it didn't exist. Regardless, again, of why this material was destroyed, shouldn't these both, and certainly the 9/11 Commission, shouldn't they have had the opportunity to view the tapes they requested?
I think that question is best directed to the CIA in regards to who was briefed and when.
The President doesn't have any concerns about...
And as they continue to gather facts, I'm not going to comment beyond that characterization, but the CIA should be the one to answer questions about who was briefed and when on the Hill.
I think a question best directed to the CIA in regards to who was briefed and when. Remember when Simple Scotty and Foxy the Snowman just kept saying glass Department of Defense about the Iraq concerns? This is all these bastards can do. And do not hesitate to believe that Dana Perino is an utter bastard. She is as much of a vile, nasty Nazi as the rest of them. And the question, well, doesn't the president have any concerns about, and he was cut off when Perino said, again, as they continue to gather facts, I'm not going to comment beyond that characterization. What characterization? But the CIA should be the one to answer the questions about who was briefed and when on the Hill. Oh, okay, Dana, let's see. When was the last time the CIA had a press briefing? Where they answered questions? I've got my thinking cap on. 1948? No. So, did Chucklenuts or the Shoe Lady or Darth Cheney get to see the big torture video before the CIA destroyed the evidence? Makes you wonder if that's the reason Cheney's ticker went blinky again. He got too excited over the waterboarding. Oh, Christ. Oh, quick, get me to a hospital. Oh, wait, let me see the end of the tape. Reporter says, Dana, on the CIA videotapes, did either the president or the vice president or Condoleezza Rice, when she was national security advisor, or Stephen Hadley, did any of those people see them before they were destroyed?
I spoke to the president, and so I'll have to defer on the others, but I spoke to the president this morning about this. He has no recollection of being made aware of the tapes or their destruction before yesterday. He was briefed by General Hayden yesterday morning. And as to the others, I'll refer you to the Vice President's office, and I'll see if I can get the others.
Some legal experts are saying that the destruction of these tapes.
Some
legal experts are saying that the destruction of these tapes actually wrecks the chances of convicting the terrorism suspects who were taped.
I'm sure there's a lot of legal opinions out there, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'll decline this.
Did you get that? The reporter says some legal experts are saying, and she butts in. Who are the legal experts? Give me their names. They're going to Gitmo. Who are the legal experts? Well, there are many and sundry legal experts, Dana. She said, I spoke to the president, and so I'll have to defer on the others. You know, she can't answer about Cheney or Rice or Hadley. Of course not. But then she goes on, but I spoke to the president this morning about this. He had no recollection being made aware of the tapes or their destruction before yesterday. He was briefed by General Hayden yesterday morning. All right. If what Dana Perino says is true, it means that members of Congress were more informed of the CIA's activities than the president himself. In his letter to agency employees yesterday, CIA Director Michael Hayden stated that, quote, leaders of congressional oversight committees were fully briefed on the matter, end quote. Representative Jane Harman told the AP that she was made aware of the tape's existence in 2003. So if we are to believe Dana Perino, this dumb, murderous, psychopathic bastard in the White House actually did not know anything until yesterday, and the members of Congress did? Oh, my God. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Yeah, Representative Jane Harman, who at the time was the senior, this is in 2003, at the time she was the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. She was one of four lawmakers informed in 2003 of the existence of these tapes. She was also told that the CIA intended ultimately to destroy them. Harman now says, quote, I told the CIA that destroying videotapes of interrogations was a bad idea and urged them in writing not to do it. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Jay Rockefeller said he also was made aware of the tapes' destruction in 2006. But according to Dana Perino today, George Bush says he wasn't made aware of the tapes or their destruction before yesterday. Now, I hate to be the person who informs everyone that water is wet, but, you know, Bush is in charge of the executive branch, or is he? And the CIA is a part of the executive branch. But somehow, a corrupt, filthy Nazi administration like this one that has expanded executive authority to the point that would make Hitler weep, they expect the public to believe that Congress knows more about the CIA's torture activities than Bush does. It's unbelievable. Isn't it, truth seekers? Huh? Huh? Back to the little meeting today with Perino, the crack White House press corps seemed incredulous that Bush either, one, wasn't aware of the existence of the tapes, or two, was upset that he was kept in the dark about their existence. So this intrepid reporter says, Dana, did the president express no opinion at all about not being made aware of these tapes? You said he had no recollection of being made aware of the tapes or their destruction before yesterday. Obviously, General Hayden has known for some time that these tapes existed and were destroyed. Is the president angry or upset about being kept in the dark?
As I said, I'm not going to I asked the president about whether he knew about the tapes in there. Existence or their destruction. He said he had no recollection of that. He did not remember being made aware of those prior to yesterday morning. And as I said previous times before, I'm not going to characterize his reaction.
In follow-up to that, was anyone else in the White House notified about the existence of the tapes, aware of the existence, aware that they were going to be destroyed, that they were destroyed? The Vice President, anyone else in the White House?
As I said, I already said that, you know, I asked about the President. If we can get you answers on other people, I will. If you the Vice President's office, the press office, and you can contact them.
Yeah, you can contact them. Go to the Vice President's office. You want to ask a question about the Vice President? Go to the Vice President's office. When's the last time they had a press briefing? When's the last time the Vice President had a press briefing, and who is the Vice President's press officer? Come on. There will be prizes. Come on, kiddies. When's the last time the Vice President had a press briefing? Who is the Vice President's press officer? What's their phone number? What's their address? Where do they live? Who is the Vice President? So, yesterday, Dana Perino knew nothing, I tell you, about when Bush knew Iran had halted its so-called nuclear weapons program. Today, Dana Perino doesn't know what the CIA is doing in its investigation of this obstruction of justice and destruction of evidence. Now, listen to this back and forth. Starting with a question from the press.
Dana, can you just elaborate on this fact-gathering process? What is it that the CIA wants to know?
I don't know, sir. I think it's too early.
When?
I don't know. I haven't been on the phone with the general counsel.
And when do you expect that the CIA and the president will make some further statement about this and whether or not there ought to be an investigation or what should happen next?
Beyond my briefing today, I don't expect anything out of here today, but you'll have to call the CIA as a question best directed at them of whether they'll make another statement or do anything further.
No, but I just mean, like, in a week will we hear back from you?
I don't know.
The CIA has concluded its investigation?
I can understand why you have the question, but I don't know.
Isn't that nice? I don't know. When do you expect the CIA and the president will make some further statement? I don't know. I mean, will it be a week or more? I don't know. Has the CIA concluded its, investigation? I don't know. Look, Cheryl, I don't know. It's really too it's too early. You'll have to call the CIA. Try to attend their next press briefing. So this reporter, the next one, asked the obvious question. If there's nothing wrong with so-called enhanced interrogation, why destroy the evidence? Duh. Then the reporter followed up by asking if there was concern that laws were broken. The ditzy chick has nothing to say. The question begins, Dana, there's an ongoing debate in this country about where the lines are regarding torture or enhanced interrogation. This White House has repeatedly defended the practice, but if it's so defensible, then why destroy the tapes?
Again, I'm not going to comment on that. The CIA has made its comment. They said that that the agency made its decision, and it was based, then that was done in consultation with their legal counsel. And let's let CIA director gather those facts, and we'll see what they come up with, what they say after that.
What's the level of concern here that a law may have been broken or laws?
I think I'll decline the comment.
Why?
Well, as I said, they're continuing to gather facts, and so I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment on that.
Because, you know, like, I don't want to get in bad with Cheney because, like, you know, waterboarding would totally wreck my wrestling injections, you know, and that would be so bogus. You know, I think you understand, right, Mr. Crack, White House press reporter? So I don't think I'll comment. I think I've declined to comment, you know, whether or not there have been laws broken. Oh, really? What does she say? Let's let the CIA director gather those facts and we'll see what they come. She almost said what they come up with. Be careful, Dana. She immediately corrected herself and said, well, what they say after that. Be careful, Dana. Oh, my God. Is it not kind of emotionally exhausting? It's not physically exhausting because I'm not going to do anything. I am going to join my 300 million fellow American citizens and just sit back on my ass. I'm going to go look at Christmas lights this weekend and, you know, probably next weekend I'll get out here. There's some bushes that need trimming back. You know, fascism is as fascism does. And I've had many opportunities over the past 7 years to say no to this. Oh, and by the way, CIA analysts who blew the whistle on the phony intel coming from Iran, about Iran, not coming from Iran, but about Iran, that Cheney, this murderous cyborg, has you know, the basis on which he's tried to build a nuclear attack against Iran, and the dumb bastard Bush has done nothing to stop it. As a matter of fact, you know, Cheney gets him alone in a room and just whips him up. What does he do? Does he give him four or five lollipops and Bush goes off on a sugar rush? It's incredible. But now it turns out that the CIA analysts who forced this issue took the information to the Times, sat in on a meeting with Cheney and Bush and Hadley and the rest of these bastards a few days back and said, we are going public with this. Apparently, the CIA analysts were willing to go to jail to ensure that that national intelligence estimate got released. Retired Colonel Patrick Long, a former official in the Defense Intelligence Agency, revealed that senior CIA analysts pushed for the NIE's key judgments on Iran to be released, threatening to speak to the media if they weren't. And wait till you hear what the rumors are in Washington, which I'll share with you as soon as we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Starched white shed, you will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play on.
You know, attitudes change about freedom in America. We've got to protect our homeland in a new way.
Twenty-one past the hour. So the skinny in D.C. The rumors are booming around the city about this Iran national intelligence estimate. And some of the rumors are that the conclusions of the NIE were released. The reason they were released is that it was communicated to the White House that intelligence career senior officers were ready to go to jail if necessary, if the documents, at least the gist of the documents, were not given to the public. And if you want a translation of that, that means someone in that group of high intelligence career officers would have gone to the media on the record to disclose the contents, period. Now, I feel almost partially vindicated because this is what we suggested the other night, that the only two organizations left that have the power to stop the Bush crime family, since the American public just doesn't give a damn. We really don't. We just don't care. I'm not talking about you. And I'm not talking about me. I give a damn, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go out in the street. Screw that. I got Christmas lights to go see. You see what I mean? So since the American public has become immobilized, and it doesn't matter the reasons, crappy media, I was in an office today here in Georgia, in the Atlanta area, and there was a waiting room, and on the little tables, side tables in the waiting room, were all sorts of religious literature. One huge television suspended from the ceiling, and they had Fox News on. And the people in that office, the receptionists and the secretaries and the people who were in there working, had the telescreen. This was so much like something out of 1984, I almost fled. And I had to be there for business. I couldn't believe it. I walk into this place, and I almost said to the first person I had to talk with, "Why do you have Fox News on? This is garbage. It's lies. It's deception." But then I looked in her eyes, and I saw the blankness there, and just thought, "Don't say a word." And then I looked around this area where people were working. Some people were doing things that were not work. I don't know what the hell they were doing. Every once in a while, they glance up. There was this, I don't know what the segment was on. They had two women on screaming at each other in a political tit-for-tat kind of thing. They had something about a car chase. They had something about somebody being murdered, a car on its back off the I-5 in Southern California or something. And but the looks on the faces of the people, and this is in Gwinnett County, Georgia, which is... it used to be 100% white, and it's only about 60% white now, but it's still, there are enclaves of people there, big upscale subdivisions where it's pretty much isolated from the real world. It's pretty frightening stuff. You know, loaded with McMansions, and that was the kind of neighborhood I was in today. And but to watch all these white people in this office with the telescreen on behind them, it was, you know, I'm really starting to lose it. The other question I had, since Attorney General Michael Mukasey is being petitioned by members of Congress to open an investigation into what the CIA did with these torture tapes, and since Mukasey, when he was a judge, is the one who ordered the detention of Jose Padilla based on testimony produced by one of the people tortured who was on the tapes. I mean, these circles are getting smaller and smaller. Since we are in that situation, Mukasey, back to Mukasey, it makes me wonder, what in the hell was it that prompted Democratic New York Senator Charles Schumer to propose Mukasey as the new Attorney General? Remember that? This was not a Bush suggestion. It was a Democrat Charles Schumer suggestion. And even though Mukasey as Attorney General was confirmed with the highest number of no votes in Senate history, I believe, where it concerns the confirmation of an Attorney General, I'm still left with the question of what in the hell was Charles Schumer's motivation.
And it certainly explains Mukasey's caginess about waterboarding questions.
Well, of course. But it's not enough to get me stirred up. I've got Christmas lights to go see. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Mother, you can fix this. We rock over mixes, not 666s. Yo, this is a message to all that can hear it. If you've got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearranging, see, times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B. Yet it's plain to see who the enemy, who's left, the NRA, the ATF, the AMA, okay, okay. It's all irrelevant, cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence.
It's about 25 before the hour. And one last thing before we take some phone calls here. Was it Buzzy Krongard who resigned today? No, Buzzy is the other one. Buzzy is the one that's on the board of Blackwater. What's Howard Krongard's nickname? Oh, well. He resigned today. He did. Always wait till Friday. Do it on Friday. State Department Inspector General Howard Poopy Krongard, under fire for allegedly impeding probes into problems with construction, U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, and with security firm Blackwater Worldwide, submitted his resignation today. Poopy has been at the center of a storm for the past 2 months as current and former State Department employees charged that he blocked them from pursuing investigations into contract fraud and mismanagement at the unopened $740 million embassy and into alleged arms smuggling by Blackwater. In an email to his staff obtained by McClatchy Newspapers, which is about the only truly investigative group left in America, McClatchy Newspapers, Krongard said that he plans to leave the government by January 15th in reference to the upheaval in the Inspector General's office in recent months, caused by him, initiated by him, fermented by him, encouraged by him. He told his staff, "I also ask you, frankly, to make an effort to reduce the static that interferes with the harmony we would like to achieve." Can you believe that? "I also ask you, frankly, to make an effort to reduce the static that interferes with the harmony we would like to achieve." These cynical sons of bitches, every one of them, that's his way of giving anyone who's looking the finger over and over and over again. Just jab in the air with his middle finger, huh? The Inspector General, Poopy Krongard, is supposed to investigate criminal wrongdoing. He's supposed to audit contracts. He's supposed to inspect the State Department's embassies and its missions worldwide. In other words, he has an awful lot of power. And like anybody connected to the Bush crime family, he misuses the power. He uses it for his friends, his buddies, his allies, himself. The American people can go screw themselves. But we don't care. That's all right. We don't care. Krongard, according to McClatchy Newspapers, former counsel to several leading accounting firms, became the focus of attention mid-September when Representative Henry Waxman, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, released a letter questioning his conduct. Krongard vowed to fight the charges. "I will fight these scurrilous charges. You filthy representative. You liar. You son of a bitch. Don't you know Jesus works for me and I work for Jesus? Don't you understand that? I will fight these charges. Oh, you nasty, nasty Waxman." But his bravado crumbled at a hearing last month in front of that House panel when it became known that his brother, Buzzy, former top CIA official, former top CIA official, Buzzy Krongard, is on an advisory board to Blackwater. Son of a bitch. Crown Guard, Poopy Crown Guard, initially disputed that his brother Buzzy had ties to Blackwater, but he changed his position after speaking to him by phone during a break in the hearing. Now, Crown Guard is the second major casualty in a spreading controversy over the Shoe Lady's management of a department of department activities in Iraq. What the hell does Condoleezza Rice do? Why hasn't she been turned out to pasture or put out to stud or something? Why not just get her out of there? Oh, wait a minute. She's female. Richard Griffin, the Assistant Secretary of State for Diplomatic Security, quit in late October over his inability to provide a rational explanation for the murder on September 16th by Blackwater employees of 17 Iraqis. So, there you go. Huh? Interesting week. Huh, truth seekers? Huh? Interesting week. N'est-ce pas? But impeachment's off the table. Let's listen to what you have to say. A few phone calls here. If we can kind of stick with this topic of these revelations this week, I would deeply appreciate it. I've got two callers on who want to read a poem, and I'm not up for poems tonight. So I'm going to ask our intrepid associate producer Ian to talk with these people who want to read poems and suggest that you read them maybe Monday. I don't want any poems. No offense. I love poems. I love poets. They are the absolute lifeblood of everything, but I just don't want it tonight. So if let's start with Barbara, who's calling from Las Vegas, listening on XM. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey.
So Cookie has quit.
Cookie, that's the one. I couldn't think Cookie. I kept saying Poopy.
On a little Friday night massacre that nobody reports on unless you're looking for it.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's not going to be prosecuted now?
Probably. None of these people. Who gets prosecuted? The only reason Irving Libby got prosecuted was because he just went too far in telling the special prosecutor to go to hell. He just went too far. Otherwise, Irving Libby wouldn't have been prosecuted either.
But what you said, Mike, the other day, this is so incestuous, the overlapping of these relationships. Mm-hmm. CIA to contractors, back to the State Department, back.
Everything has been privatized. Everything, the circles in this Bush crime family, the concentric circles that now run the government. There has been a bloodless coup in this country. It is not our government anymore, Barbara. It is not our country anymore. These are not our representatives. This is not our president or our vice president. They belong to corporate America. And they're certain aspects of corporate America. Pretty much the financial industry just stays away from them. They're going to make money no matter who wins, no matter who loses. Doesn't matter to the...
You know what hasn't been asked
what?
Of any of the Democratic candidates? Do they have any plans or any idea about how to reverse the damage done to our Constitution by Bush?
I wonder, it would probably, pardon the expression, be a real half-assed answer anyway, Barbara. Probably that's the reason. And who's going to ask that? Wolf Blitzer? Suzanne Malveaux? Who's going to ask those kinds of questions on these phony, fakey little TV exercises called the debates? Who's going to ask those kind of questions?
I know. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate it, Barbara. Take care. Take care. It can be very frustrating. It can be unnerving, this stuff. But we used to have the Fourth Estate, and they were so important to the framers of this the Constitution. They were so important that they were granted extraordinary freedom, the freedom of the press. You know, I've said it before, and you already knew it, so it's not like I'm giving you any information you didn't know. But the framers did not put into the First Amendment a protections for carpenters or wranglers or blacksmiths or farmers or soldiers or members of Congress. They put in the Constitution, in the First Amendment, that Congress would make no law abridging the freedom of the press. The press. Now the rest of it about religion and peaceable assembly and petition the government, yada, yada, yada. Okay, that's all well and good. That concerns us. But there was one profession granted First Amendment protection. First Amendment, not 12th, not 39th, number by God one. And you dirty son of a bitches in the media, you have absolutely unzipped your flies or dropped your panties and defecated all over your protection. And that's why we are so stupid in this country, politically stupid and immovable. That's why we will sit back on our asses and watch about two or three different disappearing white woman wife stories. While the republic that you nameless bastards were told to protect, go about your business reporting on white women who've disappeared. My God. So what's going to happen? As far as the media is concerned, nothing. They have time to sell. They've got product to move. As far as the Republican Party, they are three-year-olds playing in a pile of cow dung. As far as the Democratic Party, they are, even as we speak, forming a circle and loading their rifles so they can have the typical circular firing squad. So what's going to happen? Nothing.
Brainwashed by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media, brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by
the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning. Terrorists or Democrats strike without warning, so to your back seat in bed. Wear a bucket on your head, that's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled. Keep a bucket on your head.
10 before the hour.
Tell us what we see.
We're being led. All right, let me share this email with you real quick here. And then the rest of the evening we're going to do phone calls. Do we have any open lines? Let me see there. No, I guess not. All right, but we will have 800-989-1480. And we'd like you to weigh in on the topics I've brought up tonight, if you don't mind. Email from Bob. Hey, Mike, okay, I get it now. I'm all better. All I had to do was completely understand some concepts on a deeper cellular level. George Bush, all on his own, doesn't have the necessary skills to be the night manager of a convenience store. He would be on his fourth quarter of participation in a 12-step program and about to flunk his next year analysis. But this is the real world. And in the real world, a mildly retarded man with heavy family and business connections and an unlimited amount of cash behind him can be the front man for people who are dismantling this country and selling it for scrap to the highest bidder. The people in the Bush administration lie constantly. And those lies have paralyzed rational thought in this country on every conceivable level. It's insane to speak truth to power. Guess what? Power knows the truth already and doesn't give a rat's ass whether or not you know it too. So you might as well pack up all that research filled with all those pesky facts and get the hell on out of here. Power says, screw you, the truth, and the horse you rode in on. That's essentially what Ron Suskin reported in the New York Times a while back. Quote, I had a meeting with the senior advisor to Bush. The aide said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community. That's not the way the world really works anymore. We're an empire now. And when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. End quote. Which means, Bob writes, they make stuff up. And if anybody calls them on it, they make up more stuff. and everybody in the press is seemingly caught so flat-footedly by surprise at the sheer audacity, the incomprehensibility, the incomprehensibly hugeness of the lie, that before anyone can get their breath back, Bush lies again. As we saw a few days ago during Bush's press conference about the recent NIE report, he lied, and within seconds told another lie that contradicted his first lie, and later his press secretary came out and lied about that. But John Conyers says we can't impeach. John Conyers says, quote, "There aren't the votes there, period. You need 218 in the House to impeach and 67 in the Senate to convict, and 218 and 67 just aren't there. Nobody in Congress would be able to do anything else while they were doing impeachment. Nobody would be able to work or on stopping the war or any of the dozens of other matters that need immediate attention." End quote. Conyers, for some bizarre reason, is concerned about the dozens of other matters that need immediate attention, as if an out-of-control president and his gang of werewolves plundering and destroying this country does not warrant immediate attention! Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers may have a secret plan, but it is pretty goddamn obvious that their plan doesn't include the salvation of this country as a functioning democratic republic. Well, if our elected representatives won't respond to sanity, let's turn to the people. In 1976, Paul Eidelberg wrote, in his piece on the silence of the Declaration of Independence, he wrote the following: "Studies reveal that a shockingly large number of Americans do not even recognize the Declaration of Independence. Asked to comment on passages abstracted from the document, many expressed hostility to its fundamental principles, regarding them as subversive or suggestive of the teachings of communism." Herbert Spencer once said, "The greatest of all infidelities is the fear that the truth will be bad." That fear of embracing the bad truth leads us directly into denial. This denial has infected and possibly outright killed rational political thought. Perhaps Sidney Shanberg said it best, quote, "We Americans are the ultimate innocents. We are forever desperate to believe that this time the government is telling us the truth," end quote. But I, Bob writes, I prefer Stephen King from the book Thinner. Some guys, a lot of guys, don't believe what they are seeing, especially if it gets in the way of what they want to eat or drink or think or believe. Me, I don't believe in God, but if I saw him, I would. I wouldn't just go around saying, "Jesus, that was a great special effect." The definition of a jackass is a guy who doesn't believe what he's seeing. The majority of the people in this country refuse to believe what they're seeing and hearing. It has been an almost completely impossible task to explain to people that war is entirely based upon lies, costing thousands of American lives and billions of dollars to kill hundreds of thousands of people who are not any threat to this country, is a really bad thing! It's like trying to play chess with people who are too stupid to understand checkers. It's surreal. It's like living in a world where 2 plus 2 equals fish. So if the mainstream press won't do their job, and our elected representatives won't do their jobs, and the people can't be bothered to secure the rights of citizens, then our best hope is that somewhere soon, because Bush and Cheney only have less than a year to get their World War III off the ground, elements within the military and intelligence communities will step in and save the country. And then we are reduced to hoping that when the dust settles, there's something akin to a democratic form of government. That's not the military's strong suit. Yeah, I'm feeling much better now. Bob. Well, at least I know Bob and I are on the same page. God. I don't know. It really has been an exhausting week. So, I mean, emotionally exhausting. If you're paying attention, that's an excellent argument to not pay attention. And I understand that. I do understand it. Were I not, I've said this at 8,967 times, let's make it 968. Were I not in this business, had I planned my life a little bit more astutely where it concerned my financial future way back in the past, I wouldn't have to work now. But I didn't do that, you see. I was too busy goofing off, so now I have to work, and this is where I work. But if I were not doing this, do you think I would be paying any attention to this dreck that we're walking around in waist deep? You want a quick answer? Hell no. Because I'm an American. Welcome back. 6:30 the hour. We're not going to be on the air tomorrow night, obviously, because it's Saturday, but it's also the anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon 27 years ago. Man, it's unbelievable. 27 years ago. I had always thought that part of my growing old would be growing old at the same time John Lennon grew old. I think he and I were the same age. Oh, I know. That's just romantic garbage, isn't it? So who do I get to grow old with? Mick Jagger. Whoa. 27 years ago. I used to wonder, what kind of music will John Lennon be producing when he's in his 50s, 60s, 70s? You know, what would he be doing? All right, the phone number here again is 800-989-1480. Let's go back to your phone calls. Dan is calling from Wisconsin, listening on 94.1 The Mic. Hey, Dan.
Well, I hope I can do this fast enough. First of all, I'm glad you did that rant on the media. It's probably one of the biggest problems you got in this country. But I'd actually talked to Valerie Plame earlier in the week, and I was nice to her and everything, but I said that I thought she was naive because of they focused too much on Karl Rove and Bush and stuff, because, like I said, the media is one of the biggest problems, that you wouldn't have half these problems because of that. But what you were talking about, the CIA and them destroying them tapes, I'm sort of worried that some people might get things confused, because when they think of Valerie Plame, they think, well, she's not bad. You know, they did bad things to her. How could the CIA be bad? But most of the CIA people that work there, they don't have a clue of what the CIA does. In fact, when they get hired, they says, so you can keep your life, so you're not threatened or anything. It's better for you not to know anything, just what we want you to gather information on. Therefore, the less you know, the safer you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just in that fact, you know, it's good that people don't get confused on that aspect, because 99% of the people, all they do is collect data, and they're naive to anything that goes on the CIA. But like you said, there's the dark part, that maybe 0.5%, them are the ones that get the work done.
Well, wouldn't you agree, though, it depends on what the work to be done actually is. You know, the CIA, I believe, at some point in its existence, back when it was the Office of Special Services, the OSS or whatever, the original intent, if not charter, was to gather information. It wasn't to destabilize governments. It wasn't to overthrow governments. It wasn't to upend democratic elections. It was, in other words, it wasn't the cloak and dagger stuff. It was to, you know, at the end of World War II, there were a bunch of crazy people in this country, in our country, who realized that there was a massive confrontation coming. I don't know if they knew it was going to last 6 decades or 7 decades, 8 decades, but, you know, however long it was. But they knew it was coming. And that would be the confrontation with the Soviet Union. Who was it? Was it Winston Churchill who made the speech in Missouri? He came to Missouri and he said, an Iron Curtain is descending across the states of Eastern Europe. That was, as far as I know, the first time the term Iron Curtain was used. But the CIA, along the way, became something else. It became, that's where you laid out the plans to assassinate people, to overthrow governments, to murder duly elected presidents like Salvador Allende. It became something foul and vile, which, as you point out, doesn't mean that everyone who works there is involved in foulness and vileness, but they're part of the huge cog. That's the thing that bothers me. On the one hand, you have professionals at the CIA who obviously blew the whistle on these criminal Nazis in the Bush administration. On the other hand, you have operatives inside the CIA who not only do they have the moral vacuum inside their hearts that they can perform torture, but then they have cohorts who will explain to them, now we have to get rid of the evidence. This to me these are not people I want to breathe the same air with. Do you understand what I mean? And that's why a lot of my friends consider me to be incredibly naive. Because they say, you know, Malloy, what the hell are you talking about? You know, they don't know you exist, so get over it. So I agree with you, Dan. It's bizarre beyond belief. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Michael is calling from the Bronx in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing
well. You know, I was listening to everything you were saying about Bush and the latest White House scandal, the CIA cover-ups, and you hit a pretty big question, and that is, if everything is so legitimate, why the hell are they trying to hide this and that? Why the hell are they destroying the evidence? And the simple answer is because they know freaking full well that they're committing a crime. And this is so ironic, Mike, that we have the similar scandal surrounding another Republican rat bastard in the name of Rudy Giuliani with his secret trials with Judy Nathan. I'm sure you heard the ongoing stories and revelations going on about that. Or do you know about it?
Yeah, we talked about it. I know about it. I find I can't really focus on it because, to me, and Michael, no offense, but it's a real yawner. What would you or me or anyone expect from a piece of human waste like Giuliani?
Because the thing is that he did these things at taxpayers' expense, and to squander the city budget is a crime.
But he's a Republican. He doesn't give a damn about doing things at taxpayer expense.
Yeah, and he's the same. I'm sorry, but he's also the one that says that everything was appropriate, nothing was done inappropriately. But then why the hell did he hide it from the public?
Michael, he's a Republican.
I know he is. I know he is. But you see the connection here, and Bush is the one that's endorsing Giuliani for president.
Well, at least which Bush? This toy president?
Or
his pappy? Which one?
No, from what I heard, the boy toy president, the idiot.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah. But I'm saying, like, you know, there's two, to me, it was two similar situations. You know, in terms of the pattern of deceit, the pattern of cover-ups, and I'm like, you know, when the hell would this all stop? You know what I'm saying?
I know. I hear you, Michael.
And all listen, in case if I don't get a chance to talk to you, have a happy holiday.
Thank you, Michael. Same back at you. I appreciate it, pal. That's kind. Thank you. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis. Are you okay?
Hello. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I didn't mean for you to catch that, Mike.
Was that a sneeze?
Well, it was a cough.
Well, it was a cough. Well, welcome to the program, Barbara.
Thank you. I've spoken to you one other time, and that was when you were still on Air America.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally got enough sense to start streaming. But anyway, I'd like to get back to being the retired nurse that I am. And I was going to say, 35 years ago, I was a striking brunette registered nurse, like your wife, Kathy. So,
oh, yeah?
You know, but that was 35 years ago.
All right.
Very good. But anyway, you know, I, as I feel like you're my friend. I think most people do, the people that listen to you and follow you.
Well,
and
that's
I'm
very
one of those.
Kind. That's very kind. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I want, you know, what I'd like to do is probably give you a couple of hits and then have you just kind of sit back and, you know, drift off a little and we could talk and laugh, Kathy and all of us, and just sit around and relax and get this awful stuff off of our minds.
Now, that
might be the way to do it.
Did you say give me a couple of hits?
Yeah, well.
I like you.
But anyway, yes, I'd be very good friends to you and your wife and would babysit for you. So anyway.
Oh, my God. We're heading your way right now. We desperately need. Hey, listen, I got a break. Hold on. We'll come back because you haven't gotten to the point yet. Now I know why she was coughing. Hold on. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. About 21 past the hour. We're talking with Barbara, who's called in from Minneapolis. All right, where were we, Barbara?
Well, I wasn't in the middle of what you thought I was doing.
I'm well aware of that.
Oh, good, good. Anyway, but...
That comes later on tonight, right? No.
Well, that was earlier, let's say. but our time, we've got we're only an hour difference. You're in Atlanta, so...
That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, I've been, when you were talking about, first off, I want to say, because you're not that much younger than I am, you and I think, both have the same take on how we feel about our country.
Uh-huh.
And I relate to everything you say, and if I could be on the radio, they'd probably want to take me off because I'd be, getting a little bit too hot-headed. But we know what it's like to have it, mm-hmm. a good, decent, for the most part, country. And the last 7 years, it's been a nightmare.
It's been awful.
And I can't believe I live in the United States, and there are times when I wish I could just get out. But I'm retired and kind of landlocked in a sense. I have a home, but I'm paying mortgage and I can't sell now, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the heartsick blues there. But anyway, but even if I could walk away, like you said, you'd probably walk away. I don't think you meant that, and your listeners would never want you to ever feel that way. I'm retired. I don't get a hell of a lot of income, and I pretty much stay home a lot, and I've got mm-hmm. a bad back and all that kind of stuff. But I'm so into the, listening and watching. I watch Keith Olbermann. I listen to you, to Randy, and Tom Hartman, all that, and
mm-hmm.
also get online. And there are so many, and I've made friends with people in other places and who are trying to get things going, who feel like we do, a lot of Vietnam vets mm-hmm. for sure,
yeah.
and so on. So there's the spark. I mean, it's smoldering, but I think I'd like to think it's getting where it's going to burst pretty soon with people you know, taking charge and so on. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts.
I completely understand what you're saying, Barbara, and I certainly share that. It's one thing I've found about the aging process. Like I said, my mother told me, and she lived to be 89, almost 90. She said, you know, getting old isn't for sissies. And I thought at the time, and she probably did mean from a physical standpoint, because, you know, you start to get the creaks and the aches and the this and the that. But I put a new spin on it now. I wish my mother were alive so I could say, no, I think what she really meant was getting old ain't for sissies on an emotional or an intellectual level, because the longer you are alive and the more you pack into your brain, assuming that you don't wind up with some senility or something, but the more you experience and look and watch and absorb and try to find solutions to, good God, that becomes utterly and absolutely excruciating. Because there is a thing that happens the older you get. And by older, I mean anyone over the age of 35, you start to accumulate wisdom. No matter how you try to avoid that, if you're paying attention, you are starting to accumulate around age 35 or 40, whatever it is, you start to accumulate wisdom as opposed to, just intelligence. Wisdom is, to me, is a bit different, because with wisdom, you learn how to process the intelligence and what it really means. So the older one gets, with more and more wisdom packing in, and seeing people of your own age, your own cohort, like these people in government right now, these people are all my age, and I think to myself, son of a bitch, these people were produced, they were produced by the same tidal forces that produced me. So why are they acting like murderous thugs? You know, I see the story of a 19-year-old who walks into a mall in Omaha and murders 8 people and then kills himself. And all the attention against George Bush murders 8 people before I have breakfast every day.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And it's not talked about. And the media sit back on their haunches and act like, well, there's something normal about all this. And I can't stand it. But anyway, see, I went off on a rant. Anytime.
But I understand that. But there's stuff out there online that I've been keeping tabs of, and there's so much going on with the FCC, even though Michael, what's his name, isn't listening to us right now. But there is there's a lot of activity out there, and well, anyway, I'm sure you've got other people that want to talk to you.
Well, I think there's a couple there, but it's always good to hear from you, Barbara. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. You take care. Take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Everyone I know goes away in the year, and you could have it all. My empire of dirt, I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
Until attitudes change about freedom in America, we've got to protect our homeland in a new way.
We got to protect our homeland in a new way. That means torture and murder and death and destruction and removing people's skin. And Rich is calling from Toledo, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I've been better. Hey, I just wanted to give you my ideas of what should happen and what's going to happen. What should happen is Bush and Cheney should be impeached, and everyone in the Congress should be indicted as co-conspirators for their inaction and malfeasance of office.
Yeah.
But what will happen is nothing. And then before they go on recess, Bush is going to get his $50 billion for the war, and the only way the CAFE standards are going to go through is if the oil companies get their subsidies back.
Yeah. Oh, but sure.
I mean, these people are easy to read. I haven't been wrong since the war, since all this started. All you got to do is just follow the money.
Yeah. Well, that's usually the case. And with the Bush crime family, that usually involves billions, if not trillions.
And everybody else getting hurt or killed in the process.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Got an email here from Kate. I don't know if I should read it. Let me see. She says, oh, my God, what an awful, soul-wrenching, gnashing of teeth, tearing of hair week. No, that's not right, she says. This whole effing year has been absolutely horrible. No, the past 6 months have been withering, just withering. You try to keep the mad, the anger going, the righteous indignation. You think you're doing okay. Then you ask yourself the question, how many of us are paying attention? A few million out of 300 million? Can I stop this? Can we? And you don't really want to know the answer. So you, Mike, are not going mad or losing it. We are, most of us who are paying attention, quite simply overwhelmed, overloaded, shocked, having a hard time figuring out where reality is today. Just as they want us to. We are, after all, only human. And it's Christmas, and you can't ruin your children's holiday, not until we have to, not until there's no choice left. I think I'll go have a coughing fit like your last caller. Thanks, Kate. It's, I have found that it's, do you agree with this? The more aware a person is, the harder and harder it is to maintain a sense of an upbeat feeling. The more you are able to, I'll use a Bush word, to discern what's going on around, the more difficult it is on an ongoing basis to say, hey, look, you know, the leaves need raking, and I got to go to the store. I want to take my kid to see Santa Claus, and we got a tree to put up, and I got a letter to write to a friend, and you know, all that normal stuff that we all do. I find that I just consciously and it's through some sort of self-imposed discipline that I've learned, I consciously have to close my mind to thinking about this stuff during the day. Literally, move aside from it. What is that called, Kathy? It's a meditative technique. Emptying your mind. It's not the same thing as the emptiness that you get through meditation, but it's shaking out and emptying a compartment in your mind, where this stuff is stored for recall when I'm at work, you know, when I come in here and do this. And I've just learned that's the reason I don't get into huge fits of either murderous rage or depression. I know it sounds like it on this program. But I'm talking about the kind of, although I have noticed lately that no matter who I talk to, Kathy said it's your voice, no matter who I talk to, I can go anywhere. I can go to a grocery store, a bank, a doctor's office, into Molly's school, and if I'm not careful, all I have to do is open my mouth, and all of a sudden there's just shards of hostility falling all over the floor from the person I'm talking to. And I'm looking at them like, what? What'd I do? Because I know it's me, it's not them. I understand that, it's me. And I was talking to Kathy about this the other day. I said, what the hell is going on? Because she went somewhere with me, and it just happened like two or three times in a row. The person behind the counter at Starbucks, somebody at the grocery store, one of the people in the farmer's market. I don't know, you know, we're just making the rounds like you do when you do your chores, you run your errands, and Molly was in class, so we ran the errands together, and I said, what the hell is going on here? And she said, well, it's you. It's the sound of your voice. But I digress. Who we got here? Marge. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge.
How you doing there, fella?
I'm doing all right.
Start yelling, and then I realize I got to stop screaming when I take a deep breath and calm down and like that. But there's a lot going on this week.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of trying to be a little mellow because I'm marking a date today, not the one that everybody else marks, but my own personal.
Yeah?
Do you remember 2 years ago when I called and told you that a guy with a scalpel was going to come at my left carotid?
Oh, yeah. You were going to have your...
I don't know. It's some kind of ectomy, but I don't ask me what it's called.
You were going to get cleaned out a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that. And you told my fellow truth seekers, and God bless them all, I got cards from around the world, from Switzerland to Australia, Maine to California.
You're kidding.
I thought I told you. I thought sure I told you. Jeez. I even got
I remember. Now I remember. Yeah.
But there was one that came in from a GI in Korea, and I thought, holy cow. I was overwhelmed, really, truly. And so it's been 2 years since my surgery and 2 years. Are you ready for this, love?
I'm ready.
Since I quit smoking.
Yay!
I just, you know, the nurse counselor, whatever, in there, she says, you know, just quit. And I thought, yeah, right. Well, I did. I went in there and I knew that I couldn't smoke while I was in the hospital, and I came home and I never lit up. Matter of fact, I got 2 packs of cigarettes left from 2 years ago that are probably dry as all hell.
Yeah.
They're still there, all wrapped up.
Well, you know what I found out?
Of course, I don't want to tell you how many pounds I put on, but that.
Well, that can go away. You have to figure out what your exercise level is, and I know some people have a higher exercise threshold than others. But I'll tell you what I discovered. You know, I quit smoking maybe 40 times over the course of my smoking history, and finally, when I did quit forever, the thing that was shocking to me was it was not that difficult.
There are two things that I think that work for me. Number one, I don't drink coffee, I drink tea.
Right.
And the smell of coffee is what kind of sets people off. They got to have that weed. And tea doesn't have that smell. And number two is I live by myself. So there's nobody around me that's, you know, lighting up that I have to yell at.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a lot easier. So like that.
Well, congratulations.
And I'm feeling... You know, she told me that I should brag about the fact when I reach a milestone. So I'm bragging.
Well, yeah. Well, you should. 2 years of since you had the Roto-Rooter treatment.
Yeah, that's the one.
And 2 years since you quit smoking.
Yeah. Before I let you go, you were talking about Lennon before. He wrote a song, the lyrics of which are just haunting, and I think it was shortly before he died. And I can't for the life of me remember. I thought maybe you might. It was several verses long, and I had I got the copy of the words because I know you know it.
I
can't give you a clue.
As you're talking here, I'm trying to think of it. I'm drawing a complete.
Not opinion. Not.
Drawing a complete blank, dear heart.
Well, anyhow, the other thing, one last thing, I'll go curl up under my blanket. Did you happen to watch Boston Legal last Tuesday?
No, I work.
excuse me. I was thinking maybe somebody recorded it for you.
No.
They had a twofer. Denny Crane, as alias William Shatner, was arrested. Are you ready? For tapping his foot and humming in the men's room. Don't choke. And there was another one.
That's a good series. I hate the fact that we can't watch it anymore. We used to watch it. I like Shatner, and I like...
Spader or whatever?
Yeah, William Spader. Or James Spader, yeah.
Yeah,
I like
them
both.
The two of them play off each other very well. And there was, and I can't, I don't
know. Hey, there's the music.
Come back.
come back?
Yeah.
I don't think I can. I got okay, all right, I'll put you on hold.
Effort in the region against peace.
Shut up. Is that it, Marge?
Well, there was one other thing, other half of Boston Legal. You know, the world's largest store, people that sort of had a thing about directives and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
They had that part of it on the other part of Boston Legal. There was two stories that were coinciding. And I just sort of was reminded of a fellow that I know that had dealt with those kind of people and like that. And if anybody T-wrote it, you ought to watch it.
All right.
You know where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think this is the song you were talking about, Grow Old With Me. The Lennon song.
I don't know the music as much as I'm thinking of the lyrics that were so profound.
Yeah, well,
I think it had something to do with the war, or fighting, or dying, or whatever.
Was it Imagine?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, he didn't write that in 1980. This one, the one you're hearing right now, he wrote shortly before he was assassinated.
Oh, okay, well.
But Imagine, yeah, I used to use Imagine as a theme song when I worked on at WSV here.
Yeah.
All right, Marge.
All right, my friend, be well.
What is it? What's his name says? Garrison Keillor. Be well, do good work, stay in touch.
Absolutely.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, Marge. I wish I could have come up with something like creative like that instead of keep it lit. Jean is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Jean.
Hi, Mike. You were talking about the torture tapes earlier.
Yes, I was.
The question I would have asked Dana Perina is why don't they want to have an investigation? Just pin it on her right away so they have to start defending against what their decision already was.
Don't you think she
I
would
don't
just
think the reporters go far enough. What?
But don't you think she would just come up with another, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
That's because that's what they've done. They've decided not to do it, so you might as well just call them on that, get past the other squares on the board quicker. But what I want to get at is my belief that the torture tapes exist, that copies are somewhere, and maybe at Bush's Crawford Ranch, because Bush and his friends would never destroy them because they want those videotapes as trophies, just like Saddam Hussein's handgun was a trophy to Bush, and he had to have it.
That's right. That's right.
And they repeat their criminal patterns. And they fit addiction profiles like addiction to gambling, the underlying thrill they derive from their criminal behavior. It's the thrill of taking risks. And the more risk, the better for these people. And keeping the tapes is riskier. So I think they kept them. Can I give you a suggestion to make your holiday season merrier?
Absolutely.
Now, there's a great Christmas movie. It's old, about 1951. The Dominionists, I bet, don't want us to see this film ever again.
Yeah.
It's an old one called Quo Vadis.
Oh, and, I remember Quo Vadis. Oh, my God, I think I went to see it when it first came out.
When one forgives the melodramatic stuff about it,
uh-huh.
It is powerful. It's a classic. It's about the early Christians in Roman times.
Right.
And especially the core story of it is Emperor Nero.
Yes.
His insanity, his burning of Rome. And it'll make your Christmas so merrier to see this final scene again. The final scene where Nero's looking out from the top window of his palace across the, I guess it's like the Roman Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are swarming to come into his palace to kill him. It's such a twist. It's such a wonderful twist.
Right, right. It's a wonderful twist.
And the reason they can swarm is that his Praetorian guards have deserted him or been murdered. So maybe that day will come.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
In the era of the new Pax Americana.
Pax Americana, yeah. Yeah, who was the crazy person who played Nero in that movie? Because
Peter Ustinov.
Was it Ustinov?
And probably one of the best roles he ever played.
Oh, he looked
short of Billy Budd.
Yeah, he scared me.
Oh, he was wonderful. He's wonderful. You have to see it. Get it. It's hard, but the more people who ask for it, the more copies will be out there.
That's very true.
Quo
hey, thanks for the reminder, Gene. I appreciate it because I haven't seen that movie in 50 years. Laura is calling from Iowa, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Laura.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I was just going to say thank you so much for helping me realize what's happening to me. I'm going to turn 43 this year, and I never paid attention before, and now I'm obsessed. I can't stop listening to it. It's kind of like whatever they're doing every day, I turn on the radio, it's something worse than the day before, and
isn't
I can't believe it.
Isn't that the truth?
Just think, what could they do worse tomorrow? And tomorrow I'm going to turn on the radio, and they're going to be dead bodies in their basement. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's something that could happen, and they'll explain it by some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never voted before. I never caucused before. And now I'm volunteering, registering. I'm listening to Sirius Left all day. I turn it on in the morning. I listen to it at night when I can. And my husband thinks I'm insane, but I can't stop listening to it. And at work, I talk about it at work, and everybody thinks, but, you know, they're getting the information they never got before. But and when you started saying that, it's something that happens to you, anybody over the age of 35, and I thought, oh, that's what happened to me. You know, I almost feel guilty for bringing children into the world. You know, I heard other people say that before, and I thought, how could you ever say that? But now I'm starting to think, if we can't change the way things are going.
Yeah, but maybe maybe they can.
Hopefully they can, because I try to tell them as much as I can and enlighten them a little more every day and what's going on and saying, listening to this. And my son just laughs at the commercial in the morning on one of the shows that says, you know, President Bush, are you afraid that the United States thinks you're...
Laura, listen, I'm glad you called. We are flat out of time. I hope you call again. I'd like to hear from you again. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks to the crew. You know who you are. I'll see you Monday. Keep it lit. Oh, have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are. And by the way, Quo Vadis, my old Latin teacher, said it means, where are you going?